glad you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Happy New Year. It's already January the 1st. You know what's going to be the most difficult parts about a brand new year is writing down the correct year on a check. It's going to get some getting used to, so to speak. And that's just how it works, I guess. But it's getting ready for a new year. In fact, here we are. It's a brand new year. How was your night last night? Did you stay up or did you just wind down and said, eh? Not doing it. Actually, a few years ago, that's what I did. I remember maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, I am not staying up. I'm going to bed. And sure enough, I went to bed at 9 o'clock. Maybe it was. I'm not sure. Normally our church, last year, or last night, that is, we do a nice little New Year's Eve party and do have a nice little chili cook off. So that's what we did last night. It was nice to ring in the new year with brothers and sisters in the family of God. Amen. But as we start this new year, I just want to encourage you. You know, many of us, we have the New Year's resolutions, and most of us, we break it within, what, a week or two later? I mean, just being real here, just being honest here. But you know what the neat thing is? Even when we break our New Year's resolutions, we have a God who never breaks his promises. Psalm 105, verse 8 says, he remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations. In fact, Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. Even when we break our promises, even when we break our New Year's resolutions, we have a God who never breaks his promises. Praise the Lord. Well, Fred, as we begin this new year, would you consider helping us start the new year here at Great News Radio on the right foot? We would love to start the new year off financially strong. We would love to hear from you with your gift of support to Great News Radio. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. You can also give online safely and securely at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. There's a nice little section there where you can give online, again, all safely and securely. Again, greatnewsradio.org. Well, coming up, we are going to be talking about the God of encouragement. That's coming up, the God of encouragement, coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. heard of acute post-holiday depression syndrome? It's also known as the January blues, and people often experience this condition around New Year's Day. It's the emotional letdown you feel when the holidays don't seem to work out right, when you didn't have as much fun as you had hoped. Sometimes we get the January blues because we actually experienced the chaos we secretly feared. Now, even away from the holidays, it's common to feel overwhelmed. Amen. It's easy for some of us. Some of us, it's a sort of a spiritual gift, so to speak, right? Well, today we're going to be taking a look at two different psalms in our study today. And as we do, we'll find that even the psalmist had times when he was depressed and distressed. But God's presence, though, friend, can give us the encouragement we need. He can help us look above our circumstances. So we're going to take a look at a couple of different verses in Psalm 42 and 43. Psalm 42, we'll take a look, few verses here. In verse 1, it says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" Dropping down to verse 6, it says, "My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan to the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." And then we'll take a look at Psalm 43, verse 3, it says, "Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me back to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delights. I will praise you with the lyre. O God, my God, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You know, these verses describe an intense longing for God. Notice it's not intense longing for another high. It's not intense longing to drink our worries away. These verses describe an intense longing for God. It's like that moment as a child when you become separated from your parents in the big grocery store. That ever happened to you? Oh, so, you know, it's like the end of the world for a kid growing up. You're in the grocery store. You're kind of looking at all the fruit snacks and all the stuff you're not supposed to eat. And then the next thing you know, your parents are gone, right? For some of us, our parents probably left intentionally just to get a break from us. But you feel that frantic, you know, suddenly hits you that you might be lost or you might have been abandoned. But in the similar way, there are times when we wonder where God is. God, where are you in the midst of this situation? We want to believe that he will never leave us as orphans, but we let life sometimes get in the way of our faith. Did you hear that? We sometimes let life get in the way of our faith. Maybe you experience such a time. Maybe you feel abandoned right now. It's during these times that we need to become like the deer, described in verse 1 of Psalm 42. The deer isn't looking for a cold drink of water on a hot day. It's panting. It's longing. It's aching for the refreshment that only water can bring. The deer is desperate for satisfaction. And that's how we should long for God's presence in our lives. We must thirst for God. We must decide that even in the midst of overwhelming circumstances, we would rather have God's presence than anything else. Psalm 42, verses 6, 7, and 8 says, "My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls the deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." You know, difficult times are all too real. I mean, they really are. The life we live on Earth is filled with hard, unexpected twists. You know, the doctor calls with an unexpected diagnosis, right? Your boss can call you and just fire you from your job. Your spouse tells you that he or she doesn't love you anymore. And all of these circumstances, and a thousand others, by the way, can cause differing levels of spiritual depression. Now, make no mistake, though, depression is real and it's awful. I mean, it is awful. It will leave you paralyzed on some days. Even the psalmist admitted to it, and so should we. See, to be downcast is a phrase that paints a picture for us. A physical depression is when something is pressed down below the surface. It's where a great force or weight has pushed hard against the normal plane of something flexible. Spiritual, mental, or emotional depression is similar. It's when the weight of life overwhelms and presses down hard upon us. See, it's at that moment when we feel stunned by life, at that moment when we feel stunned by life, we have a unique opportunity, friend, to remember the goodness of God. The psalmist says, "My soul is downcast within me, therefore, I will remember you." Psalm 42:6. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. So at that moment when we feel stunned by life, whatever it is, we have a unique opportunity to remember the goodness of God. That's where you gotta go back and remember the goodness of God. Psalm 43 verses 3, 4, and 5 says, "Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God." You know, when we feel overwhelmed, we can ease our feelings of abandonment by remembering that God is still with us. Amen? But that's not the end. We must also move from that thirsty place of longing for God's presence to the blessing of enjoying a deeper encounter with him. See, ultimately, God's light and truth brings us into his presence. But we get there by faith in what God can do and what he reveals to us. Look at how the psalmist progressed. In Psalm 42:2, he referred to the living God. Now, that's a true statement, but it's broad and impersonal. It's a mental acknowledgement that there is only one true God. And then in verse 8 of Psalm 42, he moved to the phrase, "the God of my life." Now, this is the leap you must make from knowing that God is there to believing that God is there for you. It's personalizing it. And then he goes in Psalm 43, verse 4, called God my joy and my delight. See, as his view of God changed, so did his relationship with God, and so did his outlook on his own life and circumstances. It started off general, the living God, then moved up to the God of my life, then got to a place of my joy and my delight. See, depression is the sense that the world has gotten you down and intends to keep you down. But when God is near, we can turn to worship. As the psalmist approached the altar of God, the place of worship, he was able to find joy and reject depression. Worship is the ability to turn our turmoil into hope. By focusing on the King of Heaven, the craziness of life loses its grip on us. Whether in private or in a church service, worship guides us to the hope that is found when God is near. Now, just for the record, before people call up and complain, we all get discouraged at times, but that's not the same as ongoing or clinical depression. The roots and causes of clinical depression can be varied and diverse, and God also works through medicine and counseling. So just for the record there, but in the midst of that, we can find hope. We can find joy in the midst of all of that in our relationship with Him. So whether or not you fight the January blues, you will feel overwhelmed at times. Amen. The waves of doubt will crash around you, but you don't have to drown, friend. Depression will seek to embrace you, but you can choose the presence of God instead. Seek Him today, friend. Seek Him.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can be suffered. I need Thee, oh I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to
That's right. I need Thee, Lord. Every hour, every minute, every second, I need Thee, Lord. Jaden Lavick, let that be our prayer as we start off a brand new year, that we seek Him. We seek Him with everything we have. May we hunger and may we thirst for the things of God. Amen. Well, I do thank you so much for spending some time with me today on this New Year's Day. I know things are a little bit more laid back typically on holidays like this, but I do thank you for spending some time with me, making an appointment with me. Coming up tomorrow, it's going to be Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. Central Time. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt, you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.